Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
John Zadak, TV voice of the Cincinnati Reds, and you're up for late night Reds talk.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Monday night, and welcome to another fantastic edition of Late Night Reds Talk Live, part of the Believe Podcast Network and sponsored by our good friends at betonline.ag. I am Tim Daniel, excited for this week's episode. We planned to have Carlos Guevara with us, but he's wrestling with some technical difficulties. But we do still have an excellent guest with us. Of course, before we get to that, our excellent good friend, our producer who puts this together for us each and every week, Mr. Nick Kirby. How are you, sir?
Hey, what's going on? Real quick, shout out to the number one fan of Late Night Reds Talk Live, probably our only diehard fan. That would be my wife. It's her birthday. Happy birthday, Andrea.
It's my wife's birthday on Wednesday, so how about that?
What a week.
What a week. Yeah, absolutely. Also joining us, you can check him out as part of Cespedes Baseball Barbecue. He's got on the Ringer MLB show. He's on the Fox News Network. Fox Sports News. Wow, Fox News is totally different. Totally different.
Important distinction.
Yes, very important distinction. I apologize. But welcome back, bringing you back to the show, Jordan Schusterman. Jordan, last time you were on, we were on just a silly app. Now you actually get to like see us and hang with us.
Hell yeah, appreciate that. My birthday is on Thursday, by the way.
So what a week.
This is a huge week. Huge week here.
Love it.
But yes, thank you guys for having me back on. Very, very happy to be here.
Absolutely, man. Happy to have you. And let's just bet our excellent sports bet online. They've released their over-unders and win. I mean, their odds for winning the divisions and everything this like that. Nicholas, looking at this, the Reds with the sixth best odds in the National League to win their division.
Let's go.
What bet do you like the best there? I kind of like that Phillies plus 450. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, I think we did this before. Carlos liked that one a lot. I said before, I like the Guardians just 800. That's such a high number. I don't think they'll win the division, but at 800, it might be worth a couple bucks. Honestly, if I'm looking at this altogether, I would say the safest bet that could still win you even money, probably the Astros plus 100. I know, Jordan, I know you're a Mariners fan, but I don't know if I could see anyone.
You're right.
I just don't know if I could see anyone else winning that division. And then the White Sox are like minus 200, so you're not getting much. I think the Astros are probably the best bet.
Yeah, I do like that one. With that being said, make sure you head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus as just using our promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV. That's betonline.ag where you can get in there and make your bets. But we're going to go past that. We're going to talk a little baseball with our good friend Jordan Schusterman who's coming back. And Jordan, last time you were on, like I said, we did it on a little thing called Locker Room, which doesn't even exist anymore.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. Had a good run. We discussed some different things. And one of the two guys that you named specifically you were excited about for the Reds were Carson Fulmer, who ended up not being part of the Reds for a while.
Oh, geez. What was my other one? I hope it wasn't worse than Carson Fulmer.
No, it wasn't. It was Jeff Hoffman, who ended up carving out a decent goal for the team.
He was okay.
Hey, he avoided arbitration. He survived. He didn't get a... Yeah.
Oh, hey, man.
Tim, we actually got a clip of Jordan's first appearance.
Oh,
on the show.
No.
We got a clip.
Geez, my Carson Fulmer enthusiasm.
All no, right. It's a go. It's a go. Here we go.
I know I've seen some of your takes other places, but I love just your quick take on like kind of the Castellano situation with the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. So my general opinion on that whole thing was what him getting suspended was just a nature of literally the weirdness of the play itself. If he had done what he did, which is say, you know, I don't know, can we curse on this thing? Whatever.
Yeah.
if we see players saying let him go all the time, all over the field. That's not, people aren't getting suspended for that. It's just by the nature of the weird play, he happened to be standing right over him where he looked extremely aggressive and like in his face. But it's not like he ran over to the dugout or ran up to Woodford standing on the mound and was like, let's not go. It's just the nature of where he was, right? So yeah, it looked aggressive. And if they did change the rules about taunting, like, I can see why they would, you know, make that. But it sucks because, like, that's just the kind of thing that MLB is usually trying to promote more of. And so then to punish him for that is absurd. My favorite part of the whole thing was, like, I mean, his quote about Yadi Molina after. And you
obviously, it takes us back into a good time of Nick Castellanos getting suspended.
Dude, so completely forgot about that. That was great. What a great throwback to a moment in the 2021 season I have completely forgotten about. I love that.
Well, it feels like ages ago already.
Well, this offseason's been many years, so yeah. I can understand why it feels that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, obviously, we hadn't had much chance to talk to you through the season, but I did keep up with the podcast. And I know you guys were pretty high on the Brewers for the year, and don't blame you. They were pretty awesome. Got a little into the Reds there for a bit, like when we all did when they were looking hot, but of course had that crazy, disappointing end to the season with that brutal August and September. When you kind of look back at this season, it's definitely, I think the general consensus, obviously they underachieved, but also there's a lot of consensus of they kind of just really had a band-aid over their issues for a while and were able to win with that. How do you look back at the 2021 Reds going into whenever we start the 2022 season?
Let me tell you guys that one of the great crimes of the lockout, there's so many great crimes about the lockout, but the point is that it has robbed, like, we've just, like, we're just, like, not talking about baseball anymore, right? And right. So baseball seems so long ago. And so as I sit here in front of the baseball reference page for the 2021 Reds, I am learning so much right now, or relearning, or re-remembering, right? Like, Heath Hembree apparently led the team in saves, tied with Michael Givens with 8, which in some ways kind of sums up a lot about, you know, how that season went. That tells you what happened with Amir, right? Which was obviously a super disappointing season. And then, you know, on the offensive side, you know, you think about the pitching and you think about, okay, I think coming into the year was like, okay, we actually might have something here, right? Like, especially, we know Castillo, bad start, was awesome the rest of the way. I think that's accurate for what I recall. Gray was good. Tyler Mahle, who I've always really liked, he's good. Wade Miley threw a no-hitter, one of the funniest things that could ever possibly happen. The bullpen, my goodness, what a mess that was. And then, honestly, it's Suarez, dude. Like, Suarez kind of bottoming into – he's still at 31 homers. I mean, it's obviously probably one of the worst 31 homer seasons ever. And it sucks because he's one of my favorite players, and he's still fun to watch. But everything just kind of fell apart around – you know, the Votto resurgence, the India breakout, which if that hadn't happened, I mean, it would have been even more bleak. And then Winker, who I've always loved Winker, and to see him be relatively healthy and awesome when he played, and, you know, Castellanos too. But just like some of these big investments, Moustakas, Akiyama, and Suarez just in the toilet offensively, just that's really kind of where it kind of sunk the season, I feel like.
Yeah, it was a bummer. You know, we felt really good, and then St. Louis goes on like a 30,000 game winning streak, and it just kind of ruins our souls.
Yes, yes, yes. But it was super frustrating too, because it was like, are the Brewers that good? And the Cubs are obviously going backwards, and the Pirates are trying to lose. And so it was like, it really did feel like that opportunity to sneak in. But now we'll have 28 teams in the playoffs, so you guys should be in good shape.
Right? Yeah, we'll be fine then. Yeah. It's like the NBA.
Right, exactly. I'll save that discussion for another time. But yeah, I would say that is that a fair assessment of kind of how it went? And then, man, if there's one guy that truly disappointed, and I know it was also health reasons, but Senzel's the guy that I was always super high on, and just I don't know what we're expecting from him moving forward, but that's definitely one I was also a little kind of lackluster.
That's a name I was going to ask you about, because I still am also really high on Nick Senzel. I might be the lone flag bearer at this point.
We're on the island left. We're the last guys left.
Yeah, it's like my Malik Monk island, but that's looking good now, finally. Finally.
Good take.
Yeah, but I think with him, like, you know, on the idea of Nick Senzel is still pretty exciting and still really fun, but the idea has been so far away besides, like, that first couple months of his rookie year. You know, you said you don't know what to expect from him, and I think that's really understandable, but do you kind of feel like maybe with the fact that he had to play 17 positions last year, when he was on the field, maybe he could, we could see like some sort of resurgence from him, because that would do so much for the Reds, especially with looking likely that Nick Castellanos won't be on the team next year.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's super weird because, you know, he kind of has had the opposite of what happened with Jonathan India, right?
Right.
Where India was also a top five pick, SEC, huge junior year. We're all excited. Like, this is going to come in right away. But India was so blah in the minors that when they gave him, when he comes to spring training last year and everyone's like, Jonathan India is amazing. Jonathan India is amazing. Like, he's going to win the job. He's great. I'm like, really? I was like, okay, like, sure. Like, I'll believe it when I see it. And then clearly he was awesome. Whereas Senzel, awesome, awesome through the minors. And then all these weird injuries, and he just hasn't performed when he's played. And I don't know where he fits. I mean, right. We're looking at this and I love TJ Friedl. He's one of my favorite, just like baseball stories that we have, a guy that the industry didn't know was draft eligible and was like, and then they're like, wait, he is? Okay, here's, you know, $700,000 after the draft. Like, one of the craziest stories ever. I'm not doing that story justice. But obviously, when you see him slide in, I know this is just a projected lineup. I don't know if the Reds have said anything at the end of last season. But, you know, a guy like Naquin, guy like Friedl, and then, I mean, Akiyama, obviously, we still got another year left to him. So you would have to think that there's an opportunity here for him to be healthy and win a job, but it's tough, man. Like, if he's not playing center, I don't know. Like, it seems like his days in the infield are kind of done. But I don't know, maybe not. I know he's bounced around a ton. I hope he has a chance to figure it out, but obviously health is going to be the first step.
Well, as a Mariners fan, that's why I wanted to ask, because throughout the season, when they were talking about potential Luis Castillo landing spots, one Kyle Lewis came up quite a bit for a potential fit for a trade.
Oh boy. Yeah. That's interesting.
And the last thing, we got a center fielder from you guys. It didn't go the way we all thought it would.
Well, you know, it's slightly different circumstances, but yeah. That's true. yeah, man, that's an interesting one. I admit, I'm also on team. Like, I love Luis Castillo. I would love to do. I feel like Sonny Gray is an even better target for the Mariners, just for a few reasons. I don't think it would cost as much, but yeah, I mean, that's an interesting buy low. I mean, Lewis is, it's with him, whereas Senzel, it's been a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas Lewis, it's just now been the same leg a few times, which both maybe makes it better and makes it worse, more scary. I don't know. You could kind of judge those injuries in different ways. I think that Lewis and what he did at the end of 2019 and what he did in the shortened season was like, I think he can be the face, but I don't think he's like, I think he could make an all-star team, but I don't think he's like necessarily like an MVP candidate. I would love to be proven wrong, but especially now that it's hard to imagine him playing center field anymore. I don't know, but no, I mean, that's a totally reasonable target. The Mariners outfield is obviously a subject of much discussion among Ebs fans. But this is a Reds podcast, so we could save that for another time. And yeah, I just feel like that you presumably that'd be the kind of guy, but I would imagine if they're going to trade Castillo, let alone Gray, I mean, you're probably looking younger than Lewis, but ain't getting J-Rod. Sorry.
Yeah.
Kelnick for Castillo straight up is kind of a spicy deal. Would you do that? Nick, are you saying that's crazy? You wouldn't do that?
I wouldn't do
it. Look, I know he went over 39. I know now you guys think he stinks.
No, I love him. I love him, actually.
Hey, man. Most Reds fans are like, no, that's stupid. That's stupid. I think you're talking 6 years for two. I mean, that's how you have to view it. 6 years of him for 2 years of Castillo.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to do that, but I was just throwing.
I need someone else thrown in there. There, you know, you throw my Kirby, my Kirby. Yeah.
No, thanks.
Picture.
He's a no. You can't touch.
Then we'll talk.
Yeah. But anyway, whatever. I mean, you know, for trade proposals, of course, another thing we're missing out on with the lockout is stuff like that. I imagine that's very relevant for you guys. It's just like, what the hell are they going to do as soon as this lockout ends? This is how many guys are coming off the books.
I do. Yeah. One quick question, just, you know, we're talking about a Kyle Lewis. He's kind of been linked a little bit in some rumors. I don't know how much, but you said he couldn't play. You don't think he could play center field. Do you think he could play center field in a smaller ballpark like Great American?
Sure.
Whereas maybe he has more value to a team like the Reds than the Mariners in a much bigger ballpark?
that's quite possible. And it's also one of those things where, like, when we say he can't play center field, like, the player will almost always believe that they can play center field, right? So it's really more about the risk tolerance and the how good do we actually think he is out there, and the how good do we think he is out there now that he's X percent slower because he's had multiple knee surgeries, right? But it's a good point. You know, I mean, he's obviously an incredible athlete, and he looked pretty damn good in 2020, and that was after the first terrible knee. You know, how good he looked in 2020 was better than I think we ever expected, right? So maybe you could say, oh, well, he's resilient. He'll come back and do it again. Sure. But, yeah, that's a good question, though. It's a good question. I love Kyle Lewis, man. I don't know. That would just be, like, I would love to see him thrive anywhere, but I don't know. He's a weird one.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I like him a lot too. So obviously the big thing here is now, I think a lot of people are kind of just on the wait and see, like we all are. But like you said, like, it's so relevant of, like, what the hell are they going to do when, like, this opens back up? And obviously the big thing there is Nick Castellanos. And I think a lot of people seem to have this. I've talked to people about it. And, like, when I talk to, like, Reds fans who know I do the show, they're like, well, you know, like, if I'm, you know, this, if I'm Nick Kroll, I give him a blank check. And I'm like, I'm not going that crazy, especially when his agent's Scott Boris. But, like, you know, is there a rash with how, like, the outfield market went before the lockout? Do you feel there is any possibility that he's red again?
Not really. I mean, like,
I don't either.
I just, like, every indication of the Reds after the lockout is going in the other direction. So, I mean, unless he really loved it and for some reason ended up with another, like, 1 year deal situation, like, I would be pretty stunned. I really would. I think he's just being underrated in general in the market. You know, he's coming off a much better season than Conforto, but, you know, both of those guys, like, I know people don't get super excited about, I guess he's a year older, but I just, man, like, there, especially as a Mariner, again, not to go back, but it's just like, the idea of just having someone that you know is going to be a good major league hitter is like, I don't care how crappy he is in the outfield at some point, right? Like, same thing with Schwarber too, you know? Like, I think that those guys are just so valuable and they're, and in some ways, like, this is the perfect comparison, but, like, you see when you have a bunch of dudes, like, Eddie Rosario to me is like, he was discarded, right? And it's like, well, but he's also the kind of guy that can get hot for a month and, you know, basically help win you a World Series. And all the guys the Braves traded for are kind of like that. You know, Duval, Soler, and those are a little more high variance, but Castellanos, I mean, it's as steady as they come. And I just think that that will ultimately win out, that there's just going to be some good teams that say, like, look, hide him in left, DH him, whatever. Like, he's going to be a damn good hitter, and that's extremely valuable for us. And that's a bit, yeah. So I don't know. I would be stunned, man. I really would be.
I would be too. We've had his brother on a couple of times. He's been a lot of fun. But I like your point about, like, regardless of how bad they are in the outfield, if they can hit, they can hit. I mean, Carlos, I can bring him back in here. You know, you play with Jay Bruce in the minors. And, like, you knew, like, you're going to get 35, 36 home runs from him. He might miss the ball in the alley a few times, but you knew what you were getting. And that just how much of a difference that makes in your situation.
Yeah. Well, Jay Bruce specifically, he was pretty good in the outfield whenever he was young, whenever he could move around pretty well. So he was, but yeah, you're right. You got those guys that you know they're going to hit well, but it's tough now in Cincinnati because with Winker in left field, you know, they barely survived with Castellanos in right field as well at the same time. So,
yeah. And then you're
going to, who the heck's going to be a center fielder?
And then you're going to put Kyle Lewis limping around out there in center. I mean, geez, guys, like, you're really asking a lot from him. I don't think Kyle Lewis can
ground
be center
ball pitchers only
if he's flanked by Castellanos and Winker, I guess is a good way to put it.
I would say no, Nick and I have talked ourselves into Andrew McCutchen being a Red next year.
Ooh, that's a fun. That's a great example of, like, a super famous free agent that, like, no one is giving any thought to because he's a little bit older. But dude, Kutch is like,
mashes left-handed pitching. Yeah, and mashes,
like,
still.
Who is not enjoying having Andrew McCutchen on their team? I mean, in terms of, like, approval rating in the. I know he's not what it used to be. I mean, he's way up there on the approval rating among just, like, average baseball fans. Like,
yeah, and the Reds love that. I mean, they love
totally
Dietrich. I mean,
right.
Dietrich.
Like, they were all over him. Like, he was the best thing to happen to Cincinnati since Skyline.
Which is pretty sad. But it's true. You're right. I mean, it's they love him so quick. Dietrich.
Yeah, I was on social media today, and I was looking at Andrew McCutchen's page, and like, he's just a fun dude.
Yeah, he's like, the Reds
will forget every time he killed him with the Pirates. They'll forget about that after day one.
Yeah, I'm sure he's had a lot of good experiences hitting there.
Steve Parker all over again when he came to Cincinnati. A little older than all of us, but yeah. So real quick before we got you out of here, Jordan, because obviously I know with everything going on, we kind of want to get like your quick thoughts on some of the changes that were just recently announced with the CBA and all the things going on there. And obviously, you know, some of those were kind of, you know, adding the pitch clock to being 14 seconds with the empty base, 19 seconds with people on. You know, obviously the shift has been a huge conversation since like the 80s. So, you know, they're looking to implement possibly of banning the shift and having larger bases. And then the advertising on helmets and jerseys was something that was really kind of eye-opening a little bit, but kind of curious just your thoughts as a National Baseball man, what your thought on everything that's been kind of discussed so far.
Okay. Let's get the last one out of the way first. Ads on helmets, jerseys, go for it. I couldn't care less about this. People lost their mind when they put the Nike swoosh on the jerseys, and then no one cared as soon as it started. If this is what is going to have shorter commercial breaks, or, you know, if they're going to get that much ad, you know, revenue that it's like we can, you know, give on some other things in the CBA, like, it is a no-brainer. The people who think that is a big deal when in essentially every other sport it already exists is like that is a level of like clinging to baseball's past that is completely unnecessary and just like get over it. So that's one thing. Don't care about that. I've gone back and forth on banning the shift. I think in some ways it's stupid that we are like limiting strategy, and the other way it's like, okay, do it. Like, if we're gonna have more balls in play, great. Like, that's not gonna solve everything because we have a contact problem, not necessarily a balls in play problem in the same way, right? But you could argue maybe that, you know, if you do ban the shift, it's easier for guys to make contact and try to, you know, hit balls in different parts of the field that are now more exposed. So I'm fine with that. Like, I don't particularly care about that. Pitch clock is something that I know a lot of pitchers, and I'm sure Carlos has. You guys have talked to him about this, but like, I don't know, like some pitchers are visceral, like no way if they've never pitched with it. But then there's a lot of stats that like guys are already doing it in the minors. And at some point there are going to be a ton of guys who've always pitched with a pitch clock. And to me, I'm fine with it too. Especially in the regular season, but I know that they would want that for, you know, the people say that the postseason games are too long, but to me, like I'm fine with that too. But that's one that I think I kind of defer to pitchers on. And I think to some degree I think that would help a lot to speed the game up. And then, I mean, we're not even going to get into robo umps, but, and then bigger bases, like literally who cares? Like, sure. Okay. If that makes a difference, great. That is like the least, I can't believe anybody has like strong opinions about that because it's not like they're making them like 10 feet. Like you will not notice.
It's not
like
Matt
players,
Ball, right?
Yeah. Like players will notice because they're on baseball fields every day, but I don't think you will notice on TV at all. And like, sure. Whatever. So that's kind of where I'm at on those things. Maybe it's not as spicy of a take as some people like to say, but the shift thing I'm kind of torn on. I see it both ways, but I'm mostly fine with it. But yeah.
I'm with you, man. Well, you gave us about half an hour of your time. We definitely really appreciate you coming hanging out with us. I know you got the Cespedes barbecue hangout coming up here in just a few minutes. So before we get you out of here, I'm sorry we didn't get to talk about Raver San Martin or Ellie De La Cruz with you, but we will 1000% get to that the next time you're on. Please take a second to kind of shout out your social medias where people can interact with you. How many PSA 10s you've added to your baseball card collection? Whatever you want, man. The floor is yours.
Oh, boy. No comment on that last question, but certainly something I've slowly gotten into. No, I mean, thank you guys for having me on. Obviously happy to come on again and talk about Ellie and Raver San Martin and Aquino and all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, we actually just announced, like we're not doing baseball barbecue anymore. So that's a thing of the past. We're no longer with the Ringer. We hope to have a new podcast home in the near future. But for now you can find all of our stuff on Fox Sports, foxsports.com. We are
writing a lot. We'll be doing more video stuff once the season gets going. And then we do a podcast exclusively about Division III baseball because that's our true passion. It's called The Podcast About Division III Baseball. So I think Carlos can appreciate that as a D2 guy himself. I'm sorry we didn't get to talk about your St. Mary's championship, but we'll get to that next time. I'm sure we can dig deep into small college baseball on a future episode.
Sure.
But until then, guys, like, seriously, thank you so much. And obviously always happy to hop on and chat Reds.
Yeah, anytime, man. We definitely appreciate it. Thank you so much, Jordan.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks so much for joining us tonight for Late Night Reds Talk Live. We really appreciate all of your support. If you haven't yet, make sure you are subscribed to Late Night Reds Talk on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate all the subscriptions. If you could be so kind, leave us a 5-star review. Helps us reach more Reds fans and continue to grow the show and provide more content for you. As always, go Reds.
That was cool. What was that? That was new.
Little promo video to make the transitions better, but you just botched it because now you're making the transition weird.
Well, I had to make sure it was recognized that you did a good job.
I don't do it for the recognition.
Sure, buddy. All right, so we got some updates here. Looks like MLB and MLBPA lawyers met today, planning a meet again tomorrow. They have suggested Tuesday as a deadline for a 162 game season and get players full pay and full service time, but pay service schedule can't be unilaterally chosen, needs to be negotiated. How are 162 games still on the table with Rob Manfred postponed opening day and canceled the first two series of the season? These two series could be rescheduled even if opening day is later than the original schedule, March 31st. MLB has told the Players Association expects to cancel another week of games without a deal reached tomorrow. Sources tell Evan Drellick and Ken Rosenthal. So,
yeah, I guess
another lockout update.
Yeah, I didn't want to do any lockout updates, but this was like literally like as we started the show, I guess I just went on Twitter and saw that. I was like, whoa. So, yeah, nothing like live updates as we go. I can't believe 162 is still on the table. Carlos, is that like kind of stunning to you? It just kind of threw me back.
Not really, just because I know they can go into October, so. True. I mean, it's not really that big of a surprise to me. Just the fact that they're doing another fake deadline or whatever is dumb. Whatever, I'm tired of reading up on all that stuff. It's like, it's that one meme that's like, I'm not reading that shit. Sorry this happened to you, or I'm glad this happened for you. Like, whatever.
I do want to get your thoughts real quick. I would love to have more conversation with Jordan, obviously, but he's a busy man doing Fox Sports things. I didn't realize they left the Ringer, by the way. Wonderful news. Death to the Ringer. So Carlos, you know, as you know, we ask your insight a lot as a pitcher, and understandably so. So the pitch clock and the shift, I really kind of did want to get your thoughts on, because I'm sure, you know, you were a screwball pitcher. So like, you know, it wasn't like the easiest pitch to kind of grip and get rid of real fast. So for you, like, how do you feel about that process? And also, like, you know, as a guy who threw a pitch that was designated to get a lot more ground balls, like, how do you feel about the banning of the shift and things like that as well?
I'll start with the pitch clock. That's not going to bother probably 90%. If not even a higher number than that percentage wise of pitchers at all. Cause I mean, you can just toe the rubber. And then if you're not ready, just step off. And then you're 14 seconds or 19 seconds, whatever, starts all over again. It's not like it's going to be this big deal that pitchers are going to be looking over at the clock and stuff like that. It's nobody's going to notice, and it's going to be fine. Those pitchers that do take a little bit longer, great. It's going to speed them up a little bit. They're going to have to figure it out. Just like there's so many different rule changes, like the baseball being different last year was way bigger of a deal than the stupid pitch clock. Like, and nobody talked about that. There was like one article written about it. Nobody cared. Nobody's going to care about this either. If anything, it's going to make your defense better. Your guys are going to get up there and be amped and ready to go and not just, you know, just wasting time, everybody just standing out there waiting for the play to begin. And then on the shifts, I'm for them being banned. Okay. You know, I could have been indifferent either way, but I guess if you asked me, I would have said, yeah, go ahead and ban them, make some sort of modification. I don't know if they've really said exactly what they're going to do with the banning of the shift yet, but, you know, to have those guys out in short right field or that's crazy. And, that takes time. You know, have y'all ever seen how long it takes Manny Machado to get out there? It takes like 30 minutes.
That's excellent. That's a great point.
That is a great point.
It's crazy. And I mean, it's not fair to right-handed hitters, you know, it's crazy. They hardly ever get punished by it. My minor league career, my brief stint in the big leagues, nobody was shifting like that. And it was fine. The game was great. And I don't think once this gets implemented and we see the rules, unless there's anything crazy about it, then nobody's going to notice. Nobody's going to care either.
I think it was, and I bring him up again. Somehow he's been referenced twice in this episode by me. When Jay Bruce retired early in the season from the Yankees, I think it was Newsweek or someone, maybe Sporting News. They had an article about how the shift ended Jay Bruce's career, basically, because, you know, as a world famous pole hitter who was really well known for hitting the ball to right field, like that was taken away from him. And that's why he ended up getting a minor league contract with the Yankees. And then he ended up not performing with them. And, you know, they had, with the Phillies, they wanted to get rid of his contract because he was getting out all the time. And like, I almost wonder, without a shift, would Jay Bruce still be in the big leagues?
Maybe you should rephrase it as Jay Bruce coming back to the big leagues with a DH.
Hello, Cincinnati. Come on back. We love to bring back guys to sell tickets.
Breaking news on Late Night Reds Talk Live.
Are you and Jay Still boys? Can you ask him to come back and do this? We'd be cool with it.
Yeah. We need a right fielder.
Just take Big Hack. No, he's not playing the field anymore.
Oh, yeah. We don't have any DH options. So
he was playing first base for the Yankees. And I don't know if you remember that time he had to play first base for the Reds when Joey was hurt. Not good. Wasn't very good.
I remember. Yeah, no, I think Bruce's career definitely would have gone longer, at least been more fruitful probably at the end. You know, he wouldn't have had this drastic decline, I don't think, without it. So, yeah, I think I'm with you on the shifts, Carlos. Like, I don't love taking strategy away, but I feel like some ways it's gotten out of hand and there's just not enough balls in play. And, you know, anything that we can do to make the game better, you know, I think it'd be one of these things could be a big deal for a couple weeks. And by the time we're into May of a normal season, if this happened, or whenever, you know, a month into the season, people are going to forget about it. It's going to go away. I think over time it'd be fine. I'm all for the pitch clocks. I think it's long overdue. The pitch clocks, I think the thing that a lot of baseball, the pitch clocks aren't designed for the diehard baseball fans to get them more engaged. Like, I'll watch a 4-hour game. It doesn't bother me. I love it, you know, like give me all the baseball. But, you know, people who go to these games, they don't want to be there for 3 hours. How many times have you turned on a Reds game that's, you know, 3-3 in the ninth inning and half the stadium's left that was there? So it's not really designed for the diehard fans. So I think that's kind of, so, you know, something to maybe consider with this. I don't know. I'd probably like be more interested in more casual games if they're moving a little quicker, you know, more games that, you know, the Reds aren't involved. So, yeah, I definitely support that. The shift, I don't love it, but I think it'll be good for the game overall.
I wonder how much actual time is going to be saved if they implement this. I bet it's under 2 minutes.
I'm not catering this to you because I know how you feel about them, but like, Tampa Bay Rays games are probably an hour shorter now.
Why?
Because they shift on every fucking batter. Sorry, Nick. Yeah. I know you have to bleep me out when I say that, but you know, they shift every batter just about sometimes.
I think you sound cooler when I bleep you out than when you say it. I don't know.
I noticed that.
I think it sounds funnier.
I noticed that in the episode we had Steve and Jeff on. I was like, oh, that did sound cool. Yeah. But, you know, Tampa Bay is one of like the team that's like pretty well known for shifting like every out. Joe Madden teams have obviously done it forever. So, like, does that take Joe Madden's genius away?
I don't think it was Joe Madden's genius. I think it was the upstairs genius, and he was just doing what they told him to do.
So it's like when the Dolphins used to run the Wildcat offense and people thought it was legendary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I think I think the pitch clock is going to save more time than maybe we think. I read something earlier today from, I think it was Baseball America, where they were talking about in the minor leagues, all the games, they were significantly cut down. I think it was like 20 or 30 minutes. Don't quote me on that, but it was pretty significant, the amount of time that it took off. I definitely think it'll pick up some, and it might even, you know, get some players, you know, I think eventually you're not even going to think the clock's there, but just might speed up just naturally over time. I mean, could you see that, Carlos? Just, you know, not even the 14 seconds, all of a sudden you just start, you know, going quicker than that.
Yeah. I think some folks might, you know, some pitchers might find a rhythm like, hey, this kind of works out a little bit better for me. Let me try to go ahead and pick it up even a little bit more, you know, let me just stay on the mound most of the time and not walk around it and rub the baseball up. But it could. Yeah, definitely could. I mean, I know pitchers all the time tinkered with it. You had pitching coaches that, you know, you had, you know, starting pitchers usually is who we're talking about here. The relievers are usually fast working. And it's the relievers that are the starters that have to get in their rhythm, in the game rhythm, and they can slow down, and you can see it from, you know, from the bench or anywhere in the stands. And you're like, okay, let's go, let's pick it up. You'll see the catcher be like, come on, let's go, let's go. You know, you're taking too long, get in a rhythm. So it can definitely be good for some.
Yeah. I think
I did, sorry, Nick, but I did see something earlier today. We're saying, you know, and it'll probably bring velocities down too, because, you know, the quicker that you throw your next pitch, you know, your velocity is going to go down a little bit. It's not going to be like drastic or anything like that. But then the follow-up question was to that, well, is it going to lead to more injuries? So, but that goes back to what I said at the very beginning. I don't think it's going to bother, you know, the vast majority of pitchers out there. Yeah. And it's too bad it's not once, you know, from pitch to pitch, because anything to keep me from watching Mike Clevinger. Golly, that guy is like, he takes 30 minutes to throw a pitch with
that's
his
who it was.
Stupid okay. leg moving. I'm like, God almighty, why does this guy have to be on the Padres? I can't stand watching him pitch. I can't, like, whew, it's tough. He's a good pitcher too, and I just can't. I cannot watch that.
If he just didn't go out during COVID, he wouldn't be on your team.
God almighty.
You know,
why couldn't they have had Shane Bieber instead?
I've got issues with Shane Bieber.
Knicks Guardians.
Yeah. I might be up for a couple Guardians games this summer. I got family up there now. So I want to point this out real quick. Nick, if you don't mind if I bring up Sean's comment real quick. He said they should also make left-handed pitchers step off to third or first and enforce the ball rules they have now. I liked Cueto as much as anyone, but every pitch he threw was a ball. Could you, I mean, he ended up saying later saying it was a balk instead of a ball, which I have here. So could you imagine trying to get a jump on him? I think stepping off and throwing the first as a lefty, as far as like arm movement, Carlos, correct me if I'm wrong, that's kind of a little challenging, isn't it? Just like moving your body real like quick enough to throw over there. Like, obviously I'm nowhere near an athlete. That's why I do podcasts, but
yeah, that's not good on the shoulder. That's why you don't ever see it to third base, because, you know, next time you're throwing the baseball, try to do that. Like, step backwards and do a quick snap throw. That's not good on your arm.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like that would just be a little scary. I totally get, like, just trying to, like, make things easier. I don't know, like, there's been discussions about, like, potentially, like, limiting how many times you can throw over. I don't really know if I love that. Do you guys care for that at all?
No, that won't work, because if you reach your max, then the guy's going and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah. Can you just does that take away pitch outs too at that point? I don't understand.
Yeah. I don't know. I found that article I was talking about. It was they talk about two games, specifically with 2 hours, 28 minutes and 2:24 in the minor leagues that they sent some MLB officials to, and the MLB officials and they sent some umpires with them. They all universally just loved it, thought the game flowed much better, was much quicker. So, I mean, I don't know, you know, major league-wise, it might not have the same exact effect, but yeah, I might definitely think anything they can do to just make things go quicker. Again, I don't think it's designed really for us, but I think it's right. Better for the health of the game, which is very important, especially with everything else that's going on right now. Anything you can do to make the rest of the game enjoyable, I'm all for.
And I hope home teams start like chanting, you know, like the shot clock, like 5, 4, 3.
That's awesome.
That would be great.
That would
Everybody's
be awesome.
Hammered by the seventh inning and just yelling instead of wooing. How about we just start counting down the pitch clock?
Look, I will do the countdown of the pitch clock if we can get rid of the wave. I will do it every time.
Yeah.
Hashtag ban the wave.
Carlos, I want to hear your thoughts on this, the adding the uniform patches.
I mean, it's like Jordan said, who cares? Nobody, does it matter? Like, first there's going to be, you know, the old heads bitching about it and saying how it's taken away from the America's pastime and the classic jerseys and the Yankees. Like, we got the Nike check. Everybody forgot about that. You know,
I thought it looked great on the jerseys.
Yeah. I mean, it's whatever.
My attire is all Nike for the most part. So
every other league does it. I know we want to be different than every other league, but come on, it's just a stupid patch. Whatever. But at the same time, give the players something back. Golly, they keep saying, you know, all these things, small concessions that they're giving up and agreeing to, but doesn't seem to be coming back the other way.
We get Skyline as the official sponsor of Cincinnati Reds.
That'd be kind of badass, actually.
Dude, they don't have that kind of money.
I think kids will love the sponsors on the jersey. I think they're going to love that. I think they're going to think it's a cool thing. They're going to like having it on their jerseys that they buy.
What do people say about the NBA?
Well, I was just about to say, I went up to the Cavs game, and I got an Evan Mobley Cavaliers jersey, and it has the Goodyear logo on it. It looks kind of dope, honestly. I think it looks kind of badass.
Well, it's great if they can get a sponsor that like the Magic or Disney, right?
Yeah.
So like Skyline would be cool. Even something like Kroger would be really cool. Like a Cincinnati, you know, or P&G or something that's
Could
Cincinnati.
Be like Chiquita.
Yeah. Something local, you know. I think Skyline would be awesome. I'd the Roses. Maybe the Roses and Skyline. The what do they call it?
The trio?
No, it's the Skyway.
Oh yeah.
The pizza and the Coney.
With the Montgomery Inn inside it too.
That's a combo?
Yeah, dude. They take a La Rosa's, slice of La Rosa's pizza, they put a Coney in there, and they also, I think some places will actually take like a Montgomery Inn barbecue and put it in there as well and just fold it up.
I haven't done the Montgomery special, but next time I'm here, I'm doing the all three. Yeah. I'm gonna make Carlos watch just to he's gonna be like terrified.
Yeah.
I already am just thinking about it.
This is one. So like, I guess my like mental reaction to it was like, I totally see what Jordan's saying. It was like, for us, we're not going to notice. But for some reason or another, I always pictured it was like in gym class when you would play kickball and you'd have those giant bases because you'd have multiple people on. Like, that's what it made me think of, like some like comedy shtick. And I was like, no, it's not going to be that ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, again, nobody's going to know. The players are probably going to actually like it because, you know, if it's bad weather, those bases suck. The ones that we currently have right now, they're kind of dangerous. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but whenever people like are trying to stretch it into a double when it's raining, they kind of go gingerly around first base just because you have to make sure that you get, you know, the base of your foot on the bag, because if you go with a toe or with a heel, chances are you're going to slip.
That's how Joey got hurt in San Francisco, right? 2012?
No. He got hurt sliding into it, I believe.
Sliding into third.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, and it's supposed to have like better traction. Again, we're not going to notice the difference. So
anyone complaining about this, I'm sorry. You're right. This is going to help players stay on the field. Like I anything that's supporting players staying on the field, I'm all for, you know.
Yeah. There's the only change that I feel like that's worth talking about is the shift. Like everything else is like, whatever. Okay. And the shift, I don't understand some of the people's arguments about, oh, what's left, taking away curveballs, and you know what's next, gonna like
that's just
drastic change.
I'm
like,
yeah, I mean, I get some of the pushback on it, you know, because I don't love taking away anything that takes away strategy, but I don't think people realize how hard it is to bunt and beat the shift, like how hard it is to bunt these pitches that are, you know, have this crazy movement or that's, you know, over 100 miles an hour. Like,
right.
I bunt to beat the shit. Okay. So you're gonna have guys like trying to bunt that are going to miss bunts. Is that really exciting? You know, someone's going to get hurt trying to bunt, you know, having their hand out too far and get drilled by a fastball. It's just, it's a lot harder than I think people make.
Yeah, I mean, leagues make rule changes all the time. Baseball guys, we'll get over it. We'll get over it.
Yeah, basketball, they make changes.
Because it's, I mean, the only people who are gonna bitch about it are, you know, the guys like us that actually, you know, pay attention to these kind type of things and track and follow it. But we're gonna get over it. I promise.
Yeah, I like the extra inning rule at the end, and I hated it when it started. And at the end, I was like, you know what? I kind of like that. It was kind of fun.
I still don't love it.
It's weird.
I'll tell you this. So I made the mistake of listening to Bill Simmons the other day. Very bad idea. Like I said, death to the ringer. and he was talking about, like, they were like, him and Joe House were talking about what they would do to fix baseball. And one of the things they came up with, and God, you know, this is old men talking about baseball. So they said that what they would do is, in if it goes in the extras, they would make it like the hockey shootout, except for all nine guys on your team come up to bat, regardless of outs, and whoever scores the most runs after the inning, after all nine guys hit for each team, ends up taking the win.
I would have turned off the podcast right there.
I did.
That's silly. Bill Simmons.
I don't know. Whenever I was watching a game that wasn't the Reds, I love the extra inning rule because, like, I love watching any team the Reds are chasing. I enjoy, like, you know, that. But I don't need to watch, you know, 16 innings of a Cardinals Pirates game, you know. So I was like, oh, this is cool. It's content. We're going to do this. And so I don't know, I kind of liked it.
Yeah, it don't bother me. You can keep it on during the regular season, but postseason, I don't want it there.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no reason for it to be in the postseason, but.
Was it in the postseason last year? It wasn't in the postseason, was it?
It wasn't in the season last year.
Huh?
No, it was in the season last year.
Yeah, it was.
But they're getting rid of it this year, right?
Yeah, I watched Michael Lorenzen.
That much.
I watched Michael Lorenzen get hurt in his comeback.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was. But there. They didn't do it in the postseason. They took it out. Was there even a game that went into the extra innings?
I was trying to.
There wasn't many.
I don't recall one.
There wasn't many, if there was any.
Yeah, not that I remember. Yeah, I don't know, man, but. I think we kind of hit on everything. Is there anything we missed?
We'll just keep our fingers crossed that baseball comes back soon. I can't wait just to, you know, it's going to be awesome. You know, like, it sucks right now. It's depressing. Every time I open Twitter, I open it and I usually close it right back. But, man, it's gonna be awesome when this does end. This is going to be a crazy frenzy, and it'll be fun for baseball fans. So, oh, I did want to talk about the schedule, although this tweet kind of...
Yeah.
Killed it a little bit. Kind of interesting, you know. I thought for sure those six games were gone and not coming back. That's what kind of threw me off when I saw that. But I guess that would be great for the Reds because I don't feel like anyone was talking about the six games that were canned for the Reds were home against the Cubs and Pirates.
Right.
Like, those are not six games you want to lose.
Agreed. Like,
yeah. At this point, let's go ahead and start the season on the 22nd.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Let's skip the Dodgers and Padres series on the road.
Honestly, let's like start the let's just start May 6th against the Pirates at home. Like, we'll skip a series in Milwaukee. We'll skip all the Padres games. But yeah, no, I mean, I guess if they're giving those six back, it's not as bad. But man, if they were starting like the 14th, like that's what I was kind of thinking. If we're one more week away, they cancel one more week to start the 14th. My God, that's awful. Like that's like, you know, a easy way to start the season 2-10 or something and get buried, you know.
Go yeah, Reds.
Just keep your team in Arizona at that point, if that's the case. Don't make them travel.
I kind of want the Reds to start on the road just because I like people getting all upset about that. I think people are so dumb about getting mad that the Reds don't get the first game. Like, that annoys me so much every year. Like, you get a home game every single year. And, like, you know, I live up here in Cleveland. They went, like, four straight years without opening at home. Like, stop complaining about it. It's so dumb.
Yeah, not to mention game two, they're not there anymore. They go to opening day, and then they aren't back until if they make the playoffs at home.
Me and Tim, we're game two guys. We're game two guys.
Oh, yeah. I've been to many game twos in my life, for sure.
I've been to, like, 10 game twos and one game one. So.
Yeah, I've been to quite a few of opening days. So you were talking about people complaining earlier, and it just reminds me of what Carlos said. I wanted to tell this kind of funny story when I was younger. and I worked in the mall at our like sports apparel shop where they sold jerseys and stuff. So the season the Los Rojos jerseys came out, remember, like everyone threw a bitch fit about those. They were like, we had them all, like we had the whole team, and they were like hanging up like in our in our wall. And you know, at this time, it's like, you know, Cueto's on the team, Chapman's on the team, and these people come, like all these people would be like, can you believe they're wearing these Los Rojos jerseys? It's America's pastime, baseball. And I was like, ma'am, that jersey says Cueto on it. It's like, I don't know if you've watched baseball in the last 25 years, but not a whole lot of American stars anymore.
Yeah.
Kids these
days. I don't like those Rojos jerseys, though.
You don't like them?
No.
Was Coase the guy that came in and complained?
I'm like, come on, let's come up with something different instead of just throwing Los Rojos on there.
It's like the NBA. It's like the L Lakers. You're like, I don't think that's how that works.
We need those black jerseys. I don't know if you saw those circulating from our guy Seth, man. I don't know why they haven't reached out to our guy Seth and asked him to make some new jerseys. His concepts are all just incredible.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
We got to get him on the show. Just go through his whole jersey collection.
The batting practice jersey from the Griffey era, the black one, was dope.
That would actually be a fun show. Just have a bunch of slides of jerseys talk about them. I'd love to bash on the cutoffs for 30 straight minutes.
The but jersey Dion wore special. I like it.
Yeah. We just put up pictures of Dion. Is this cool? Okay. Next one. But before we go off the hinges here, I guess we should go ahead and wrap this before Tim gets a little wild and starts talking about stupid shit some more. Thank you so much to Jordan Schusterman, Cespedes Barbecue, for coming on. So much fun to have him. Thank you guys for tuning in each and every week. I know it's hard during a lockout. We're doing our best and we're having fun interacting with you guys. So please take some moment to give us a shout out, watch our show, listen to us wherever you might be, as Nick said in that intro earlier. And also check us out, check out betonline.ag. Make that bet on the Reds. I actually like those odds. I like it a lot. And I'm not going to shout out the rival sponsor network this time, like I did a couple weeks ago.
Good job, Tim. But
thank you. Also, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever. 5-star reviews go a long way for us. Thank you all so much. Have a good night. We'll talk to you soon. Come back, Jack.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.